There's a word from the Lord today, Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, I want to begin. I'm going to read the first four verses at least, and then a portion of the ninth. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Verse 9. The B part of verse 9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. I want to talk about firm faith. Many of you have been there. They told you to fast before you went in. So you went in hungry. You went through the surgery. They took you to recovery. You were thirsty as could be, but they wouldn't give you no water. When you finally got back to your room after going through surgery, still have IVs in your arm, and now it's late in the day and you haven't eaten nothing since yesterday. They're making sure you don't have a temp. And then finally they say, you can have some food. In every hospital, one of the first things they'll bring you, and they call it food, is some Jell-O. It was Peter Cooper in 1845 who created this thing we know as Jell-O. It starts off as gelatin. It's a byproduct of animals. And if I told you where it really came from, y'all wouldn't eat Jell-O no more. But it's gelatin that's taken from animal byproducts. It's processed into a powder. They add some color to it, some food color and some dye, sweetener and flavor. And when you take that and put it in boiling water, the gelatin turns into gelatin when it's cool. The proteins become firm, and that which was a liquid is now firm. It was a man by the name of Pearl Baxby Waite in 1897 who finally got it off the ground. Back then, you could get a box for 10 cents. They had raspberry, I think orange and lime, and we call it red. His wife said, you ought to call it Jell-O. And ever since that day, it's been a great product. Many of us have learned to do a number of things with it. But in 1897, it was Waite, with the help of his wife, that got that product really off the ground. Can I tell you that faith, just like Jell-O, is best when it's firm. Nobody wants Jell-O that has been watered down. Nobody wants to drink Jell-O. Nobody wants weak Jell-O, and God is not interested in weak faith. If you're going to have firm faith, you're going to have to overcome some things. In our text today, the key character in our text today is a man by the name of Ahaz. He's a king of Judah, and he's struggling. He's struggling with his faith. So I want to walk through these few verses to help all of us learn how we can have firm faith. Here it is, Lindzel. If we're going to have firm faith, one of the first things we're going to have to overcome is pressure to join sides. In your life, you're going to have to deal with the pressure to join sides. I said to myself last year, I can't wait till the election is over. I'm so sick of people talking down about people, trying to get folk to join sides. We have the election and it still ain't over. Every time we turn on the TV, there's people being pressured to join sides. In the text, here's what's going on. What has happened in the text, you've got the Northern Kingdom. The Northern Kingdom has united together, and they're trying to build an alliance with Ahaz, who's the king of Judah, trying to get this alliance so that all of them can go against Assyria. Assyria is marching, becoming a big baller, becoming dominant in the world, and Syria and Ephraim are afraid that if they don't get no help, Assyria is going to destroy them. So the king of the Northern Kingdom, they come together and apply pressure to Ahaz. And they tell Ahaz, you better join up with us. You better join up with us. They've got a plan. They've got perceived power. They have some partners. And they're applying pressure to try to get Ahaz to unite with them so that collectively they can be triumphant over Assyria. The trouble is that Ahaz has already entered into a covenant on the down low with Assyria back in 2 Kings 16:5. He's already given his alliance to Assyria, but he's afraid now to tell the fellas from the Northern Kingdom that I've already hooked up with them because of political pressure. I want to tell you that when you're under pressure, political pressure or peer pressure will have you saying some stuff you know ain't right. Peer pressure, political pressure will have you saying some things, going along to get along, saying stuff that you know ain't right. Not only will it have you say some stuff that you know not right, but the other flip side of it, political pressure, will have you silent when you ought to be speaking. We're sitting around watching. We had a marvelous election, and people came out in record number. The thing has been decided, and yet you still got some folk that are talking but saying the wrong thing, and then you got some other folk that ought to be talking and ain't saying nothing. It was Martin Luther King that said, it's not so much the mouths of bad people that keep stuff going. It's the silence of good people that won't stand up, that won't speak up. But the joy of it all is we didn't pick a savior. We just picked a president. Political pressure will sometimes push you to sign up with the wrong team. Little dog, my buddy all the way up in Wisconsin, he was under pressure because they were winning at this time. He signed up with Assyria because they had been winning for a little while. But y'all, you don't sign up with somebody just because they are winning now. It's not whether or not you're winning now, it's where are you going to land when everything's all over. And these folk were outside of the will of God, and Ahaz is outside the will of God, but yet he signed and gave an allegiance. And so because he won't sign up with the northern kingdom, they now say, well, we coming after you. If you're going to have firm faith, you got to deal with the pressure of joining sides. But secondly, you got to be able to not panic when folk accuse you, when folk say they going to get you, when folk want to persecute you, when folk try to intimidate you. You cannot panic in the midst of intimidation, in the midst of mere men spouting mere words. When you call yourself a child of God, you cannot panic. And he's panicked. Here's the problem. Fear, just like this pandemic, just like COVID-19, fear is contagious. And if you've got fear in the pulpit, you sure gonna have fear in the pew. If you have fear in leadership, you're going to have fear among the people. I really appreciate that song, Junior. The Holy Ghost had y'all sovereignly select that song because y'all didn't just sing it. Y'all sang it. You sang it like you meant it. You hollered like you meant it. God's got this. And then you went to that vamp and said, he knows what I need. That's a confidence. That's a song of faith. That's a statement of confidence that you're not afraid. And Ahaz is panicking and the people are panicking. And there's nothing worse than living in fear. Over and over in Scripture, you see fear not, somebody said about 365 times. It's almost as if God put one in there for every day. John, no matter what's going on, God still says, fear not. Here we have in this text, the context of what's going on is that Ahaz is in the midst of a whole lot of political pressure. He's signed up with the wrong side. He's living fearfully. And the problem with living in fear, not only does fear, not only is it contagious, and it'll flow from heart to heart to heart to heart, but fear causes your faith to sway. I love what the writer said about them. He says they're like the trees in the forest that are caught in the wind. When you see a forest that's in the midst of a storm and the trees are swaying in the wind, that's a real good picture of weak faith. What it really means is one moment they're over here, and then the other moment they're over here. They're back and forth. They're not standing strong in any way. They hear one minute there, the next minute. He describes them like trees of the forest caught in the wind. The other problem when trees are caught in the midst of a storm, if it's during the time where they have leaves, it makes a lot of noise. It's inaudible noise, but the problem with the noise that it makes a noise that makes it difficult to hear a clear word. There's nothing really audible being said. It's just noise. That's what scared folk will do. They make a lot of noise, but they don't have a clear word. And somebody looking at me right now, when you feel like you're swaying one way, you don't know if he's going to do this, or if you don't know, and your faith is swaying back and forth, you need to know that you need to get somewhere and sit your narrow self down, get quiet, so that you can hear a clear word. And here's what ultimately happens. What happens is that the good God we serve, he sees it all. He sees that they're being threatened. He sees that Assyria is coming their way. He sees what's going on in the northern kingdom. He sees and understands what's happening with Ahaz. And then he calls Isaiah, and he calls Isaiah and tells him in verse number 3, then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son. Go meet Ahaz. Told him where he could find Ahaz. Let me walk through this text real carefully and slowly. He says, go hook up with Ahaz and take your son. If you're going to have firm faith, you're going to need a good strong word from the prophet. The word says faith, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to have firm faith, you're going to need to hear a word from the Lord. Listen to the detail that God gives to Isaiah. John, the first thing he says, take your son with you. And John, I couldn't help but I was thinking to myself, God, why do you want my son to go? Why do you want my son to go? Then it became crystal clear. It became crystal clear because God wants to make sure that this next generation, they need to see something. Take your son with you, because the next generation need to see something. Okay, what does this next generation need to see? Well, the first thing they need to see that God sees what they need. They need to see that the good God that you've been talking about, though he sits high, he looks low. He sees. They need to see that God sees. When you're backed up against the wall, they need to see God sees. When you're in a jam, they need to see God sees. When you don't know exactly which way to go, they need to see that God sees. And when God sees it, the first thing he does is send a word. He doesn't need to send an army. He sends a word. He sends a word. They need to see that God sees, and he sends a word. But they also need to see parents standing on the word God sends. I just said something. Be careful. Be careful. This generation that we're trying to raise, they need to see that you see that God sees. And they need to see, as parents, that you're standing on the word that God sends. And they need to see it, because they can't be what they don't see. And a whole lot of folk, you trying to get your children to be something that they ain't never seen. You trying to get them to be students of the Bible, but they ain't never seen you be students of the Bible. You're trying to get them to be people of prayer, but they ain't never heard you pray over nothing but some food. Because they can't be what they don't see. Isaiah, bring your son. Because he needs to see that I see what my people in their time of need. He needs to see that I see that what they really need is a strong word. He needs to see you stand on the word that I send. Because trouble's not going to stop with your generation. Pressure's not going to stop with your generation. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be pressure. But the joy of this text is that he says, take your son. I'm trying to leave this point. Young lady, take your daughters. Young fathers, take your children. Let them see you stand on the promises of God. When they get down there, here's what's so interesting. John, God says, here's where you're going to find him. He's going to be at the aqueduct. He's going to be at the upper pool. Now here you've got King Ahaz down at the water treatment plant, inspecting the water treatment plant. What is a king doing inspecting the water treatment plant? Well, first of all, some of y'all haven't experienced it until your water was shut off. But the one thing you can't survive without is water. Your body can't make it without water. People need water to survive. Animals farm, you need water to survive. Crops need water to survive. And he's so scared that he's not taking anybody else's report. He's going down there to investigate, to make sure the water is okay himself. He didn't go because he didn't have a good manager. He went because he was afraid. He was afraid. When he goes to Ahaz, he has to deal with Ahaz and try to calm him down. That's why I read that one verse where he says, here's what I need you to tell Ahaz. You tell him, be careful, stay calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart because of them, because of what those men have said. Ahaz sees soldiers. Ahaz sees two kingdoms that have united against him. That's what he sees. But God sees smoldering stumps. Let me say it again. Ahaz sees two kingdoms, two armies. God calls them smoldering stumps. That's an interesting, that's a beautiful picture. Smoldering stumps. That's the picture of a tree that has been burned all the way down, and the only thing that's left is a stump. That's a picture of a tree that everything else is gone, and all you've got left is a little stump that looks a little bit like charcoal. In other words, what he's really trying to say, you see soldiers, but I see something that can't hurt you. You don't have to worry about it. They can't hurt you. They've already been burned up. They can't hurt you. Isaiah went on narrating what God said. When you keep reading, I didn't read these other verses, but in these other verses, part of the narrative says what they're saying, it ain't going to happen. They're saying they're going to do this to you and that to you. It ain't going to happen. Matter of fact, in just a little while, they don't even know it, but they're not even going to be living. It ain't going to happen. Watch this. Ahaz is panicking about something that God said ain't going to happen. Ahaz can't sleep at night over something God said it ain't gonna happen. Ahaz is about to lose his cotton picking mind, and what he's losing his mind over, God said it ain't even gonna happen. I know what they said, I know what they think, but the sovereign is the one that can keep anything from happening. They're worried about something that ain't even gonna happen. Come here, come here. Come here, young mother. Quit worrying about stuff in the future. Quit ruining your present, worrying about something in the future that may not even gonna happen. I tell you what you do. Just trust God in the present. Try not to get ahead of myself. Here's the final thing. If you're going to have firm faith, faith is something that has to be applied. Listen to what Isaiah said. If you don't stand in your faith, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't be able to stand at all. You got to be able to apply the faith that you say you have. Let me see if I can make this plain, and we'll go on and have communion. That woman who'd been sick 12 years, whose fountain had been turned on and couldn't get it turned off, she said to herself, if I could just touch his hem. When she went through the crowd, when she knelt on the ground, when she reached out to his garment, she was applying her faith. Because faith, sister, is something that's got to be applied. You got more month than you got money, but you believe Malachi said, if you'll bring God his tithe, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive it. And you go on and put God first and write a check for what one of your bills are because you are applying your faith. Why did Peter step out of a good boat into a stormy sea walking to Jesus? Because he was applying his faith. That's what I'm trying to tell somebody up in here. Faith is something that has to be applied. When Jesus put some mud on the eyes of the blind boy and told him to go wash, he went on to the pool and he washed because he was applying his faith. God is looking for somebody who will apply their faith. You remember when it was April 14th and they needed to pay their taxes. Jesus said, go fishing, and the first fish that you catch, take the money out of its mouth and go on and pay the taxes. They went and threw one hook into the water and caught the first fish. They applied their faith. Normally, fish don't hold coins in their mouth. They had to believe that the fish could hold the hook and the money at the same time and keep the money till they got in their hands. When they did it, they were applying their faith. Somebody looking at me right now, I know what's going on. Money's funny. Some of y'all are behind. It doesn't look like you catch up, but I'm asking you to apply your faith. I know people are getting sick. Family members are dying. But Chandra, I'm asking you to apply your faith. Hey, you know how you're going to be able to stand. You can only stand on firm faith. And if you don't have firm faith, you won't be able to stand at all. I close with this little story. There was a plane flying that was going through turbulence. And you know what they always say, buckle up, buckle up, buckle up. The pilot comes on and says, I need y'all to strap in. We're going to suspend the beverage service because we're going through a little rough air. I'm trying to go over it. I'm trying to get around it. But there still may be pockets where we will have some wind shear that we'll have to deal with. So it may get rough. It may get a little bumpy. But just hold on, I'm gonna get you to smooth air as soon as possible. And sure enough, it did get rough. Sure enough, it did have some dips. And you could hear people saying, ooh. You could hear people say, ooh, ooh. You could hear people say, whoa. But there was a little boy playing on his iPad. He wasn't worried about a thing. He kept playing with his games. Dipping like everybody else dipped. swaying like everybody else swayed, but nothing came out of his mouth. He had a smile on his face as he played his game. And then somebody looked over at him in dismay, and they said, "What's the matter with you? How can you keep on enjoying your game? Aren't you scared?" He never looked up. He never looked up. He never whimpered. He simply said, "My daddy is in the cockpit. My daddy, he's the pilot." Hey, I think I'll close with this. "And my daddy, he's got this. Ain't no need of worrying, 'cause God, he's got this. He knows what I need. When I needed a savior, he sent Jesus. When I needed a lawyer, he sent Jesus. When I needed an advocate, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's got you, and he's got me." Stand firm in your faith. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't be able to stand at all. Ahaz says, and if you don't believe it, Isaiah said, if you don't believe it, Ahaz, ask God for a sign. He'll show you something. And he got real pious because he said, no, I don't need a sign. And because Isaiah already knew what he was up to. Isaiah said, "That's all right. He is going to send a sign. A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. They will call him Emmanuel." You do know what that means is God is with us. In the midst of this trial, God is with us. In the midst of your valley, God is with us. In the midst of pressure, God is with us. And I praise God, he's with us, and I'm gonna stand with him.